Engaging conversation on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Well, hello. I'm Janet Morena, Executive Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to our program. Just Ask Janet, of course. I'm still filling in here at the 9 o'clock slot for Father Pavone. He is coming along fantastic. Tomorrow will be 5 weeks. Imagine that, since that open heart surgery. He's just following the doctor's orders, and hopefully in a few more weeks, he will be back. And the doctor said that after surgery, he's going to have even more energy than he had before. Oh my goodness. So if all of you know how energetic Father Frank is, watch out. He's going to be coming. So today, of course, is Flag Day. Flag Day for me is a very, very important day. First of all, my dad was a World War II veteran. He always taught us to respect our country, our flag. I almost get all teary-eyed when I'm at an event and we stand and we do the pledge and we sing God Bless America. You know, and unfortunately, too much has happened recently in our country of the disrespect for our flag. And in fact, just recently I was shopping at Hobby Lobby and I got this great sign that says, okay, I stand for my family, we stand for the flag and kneel for the cross. And to me, brothers and sisters, that's putting everything in proper perspective. Well, joining me today on the program is someone who also has this passion for the flag, for our country, and also she has a passion for the Lord and the Eucharist. And we're going to be talking about that today. So welcome to the program, Sister Deirdre Byrne, who now we all know is Sister Dee Dee. Welcome, Sister.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Well, of course, Sister, you got thrust into the limelight back in 2016, that speech you gave at the RNC convention. And I don't know if you heard me screaming all the way from Florida. I was like, go, Sister. Oh, my goodness. I mean, never have I heard at any political convention a speaker allowed, like you were allowed, to talk about abortion and our unborn brothers and sisters. So I can still say bravo, Sister. That was amazing.
Yeah, no, it seems like 2016, but it was just last year only. It was 2020.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. It was just last year. No, my mind is so confused.
No, that's okay. No, it was just not too long ago.
Yeah, last year. So now, since that happened, I guess now suddenly you're getting requests to speak places, right, in the pro-life movement, right? Suddenly a whole new world. And I remember you saying that whole opportunity, you prayed about it. And you said, but before you were given that invitation, weren't you praying, God, use me somehow, right?
Right. I was in our chapel. It was during the election period. My mind was not on the election per se, it was just on the sanctity of life and trying to do more for the unborn. Our community is a community that does mainly teaching. Our house here in DC is a medical house. So I do some abortion pill reversal. I'm a general surgeon who serves the uninsured worldwide. So we do have some medical activities, but no, I was praying to God, just lamenting and apologizing. I was saying, Lord, I'm not doing enough for you, because I was really concerned of the rhetoric about the Democratic candidates and how some of them who are Catholic are so with a big C Catholic and how much they do and how devout they are. But I just was concerned because of all that's been going on. I call it the COVID cataracts. People have been blinded because they're not going to the sacraments. So I was in the chapel praying and asking the Lord to use me to be his voice for the unborn. I said, Lord, use me any way I can serve you. And then about 2 hours later, I received a phone call from the White House asking if I would speak at the convention. And I said, I was a bit taken back. I said, could I speak on the sanctity of life? And they said, yes, you absolutely can, because I wanted to be able to tell the world, because there seems to be a confusion about when life begins. So as a medical doctor, I wanted to clarify that, to say that life begins at the moment of conception. It's a human being. And then to try to encourage people to be in the state of grace, to pray the rosary, and to support those politicians who are supporting the most vulnerable, which is the unborn. Right. And, you know, I mean, everything else sort of follows with that. The most important is the sanctity of life. The bishops say that. This is not me, my own opinion. This is the church and the teaching of the church. So, and then I just wanted to encourage everyone that, you know, we all have to, I'm not only a pro-life doctor, but pro-eternal life. And I really, my modus operandum in, every day when I speak with people, to when I see my patients, is to, you know, try to encourage them to be in the state of grace. And I can't give and teach what I don't do myself. I try. We pray, our community is a traditional community. We pray, you know, four times a day. We have adoration, actually, three times a day right now because of all that's been happening. We daily mass, we pray the rosary three times a day, adoration. So, and confession weekly. I try to do that every week to try to keep myself, you know, to keep the slate clean so that I can sort of listen to what the Lord is asking me to do. And yeah, I was catapulted into, you know, this national, which I wasn't prepared for. But I got to meet, you know, Father Pavone and you and so many wonderful people who are doing so much more than I could even begin to do for our unborn. So,
you know, sister, like you just said, you got catapulted, but, you know, first of all, you know, just to go back for a minute, I've been in this battle for decades with Father Pavone, and I mean, what a blessing President Trump was, because I have never experienced a president to be so bold in talking about abortion, both in the campaign and the things he did for executive orders, the people he surrounded himself with. I mean, we were truly blessed, as far as I was concerned, to have such a wonderful president for the unborn. Yeah. But, you know, when you just said before about we have these COVID cataracts, look what the COVID has done to the way people are worshiping now. I mean, it's. I think we've gotten to the point of now laziness, because first it was, oh, we were afraid to go to church. And all the bishops gave everyone a pass, you know, dispensation. And I could understand that last year when we were in the heat of the pandemic. But I mean, since the vaccine is out, the numbers are all down and all that. I mean, it's almost like there's a fear of the opening the churches. But what I noticed, especially in my parish here in Florida, the priests are begging people to come back to church. And it's mostly the older people who are coming back, which technically, according to COVID, they're at the higher risk. It's like young people have checked out. And like my parish, they're still streaming all the masses and all, everything. I think you should go back to streaming just one mass for the true homebound and elderly. My parish just started this weekend reinstituting Eucharistic ministers going to bring Eucharist to the homebound. But I mean, I don't know what to say, sister, but like what has happened? I think it stems from catechesis. Because if people truly believe the real presence, first of all this carelessness about the Eucharist wouldn't happen, and they would be begging and dying to come back to church for the Eucharist, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. You said it hit the nail on the head. It's the lack of catechesis. You know, when I was growing up, my parents went to daily mass. I grew up with that that fervence, and we were actually receiving our Lord in a special way by the mere fact that mom and dad had our Lord within them. Then they came home to get us ready for school, and dad was going off to work, and they were both pretty busy people. My dad was a thoracic surgeon. Mom raised eight children, and that Eucharist had, I think, I would say, if anything, had an impact with my parents. And they're bringing Christ to us in a special way before we were, you know, old enough or able to go to Mass. And my siblings, especially my sisters, and I have a brother who's a priest, are daily Mass goers. But we if we only knew the power of the Eucharist, and our founder, Blessed Francesca Maria Greco, said that it was before the Most Blessed Sacrament that he found the love of Jesus and the power of that love. And then I learned to realize the power of the Eucharist as I became, as I got older and I started to discerning my vocation and realized I needed to be with a community that had the same fervence and love for the Blessed Sacrament. I had lived with the Missionaries of Charity after my surgical training, and they were open. They opened their home to me, and they are a powerhouse of Eucharistic adoration because they have, they're blessed with so many sisters. They have different chapels where the different communities are having prayer, and that's when I really fell in love with realizing the importance of the Eucharist. You know, when people are at home and they're not going to Mass, maybe because it is convenient, they can, you know, Zoom Mass and then pop into another room real quickly and get their work done. It's like not going to a restaurant and looking at the menu and kind of dreaming about what, you know, the ice cream, the desserts, the chocolate cake, without being able to appreciate the real nourishment of that. And the Eucharist is the spiritual nourishment. And I can tell you, I share this with everyone, and it's my personal experience, that if it wasn't for Jesus and the Most Blessed Sacrament, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing right now. You know, I'm not sure if I'd even be alive, quite honestly. I'd be definitely spiritually dead. And I don't take it for granted. I think of St. Philip Neri, who used to say, "Lord, don't leave me for a moment. I can't be trusted." So, you know, we just have to constantly be reflecting our own, you know, reassessing our life, and to be able to constantly go to that nourishment, which is the Eucharist. And I just invite anyone who's listening, who's, you know, not going to Mass, to go back, to try to go back, because when you're there in person and you're receiving our Lord, hopefully to your mouth, not with your hands, because that is Jesus. We have to be so respectful. Then I guarantee you, you won't regret it. And it's so critical. I remember a friend of mine who, a retreat sister, Philip Marie, pray her for her, by the way, she's been sick. She would talk about the importance of Eucharistic adoration and how important it was. And this businessman came up and said, "Sister, I don't have time. I don't have time for an hour a day. I'm a CEO of a company. My wife and I have 7 children." And he went on to all the reasons. And she said, she looked at him, she said, "Oh gosh, you need 2 hours a day for Eucharistic adoration, not just one." So, you know, I think, I want to encourage everyone, please, please return to the sacraments. The virus, the COVID virus, first of all, you know, for people under 65, people who are healthy, the most people don't, 90, only 1% or less will have any serious, you know, activities or problems with it. I've treated hundreds of people who have had the COVID vaccine virus with hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. They've done very well. So we have a prevention, we have a treatment. So don't be afraid to go to church because you might get sick. It's the opposite. You're going to get healing if you go to Mass.
Right. Well, you know, I've been saying to everybody that during this whole COVID thing, everybody was so worried about food. Remember that? You know, getting all the delivery home, Instacart, this and that, and they were obsessing with making sure they had enough food in the house
and toilet paper,
right? But so we worried about the food and the toilet paper, but that's food is for our bodies. But now the very food for our soul, they're like just not thinking about it, you know. And so I love that you're saying to them, we need to come back to church now. We know this week is an important week for the bishops. They're meeting on Zoom and not in person. And I guess that whole topic of the politicians and receiving the Eucharist, I guess, is going to come up pretty much. And we pretty much know that there's
disagreement among the body of bishops themselves. But, you know, well, first of all, with me and the politicians, what I try to do for myself, because otherwise you can go crazy with people like Nancy Pelosi and a few of the others, I pray for them, for their soul, you know, and for Biden too, because, and ask me if I'm wrong, sister, but, you know, for me publicly to go out complaining about, you know, going, nah, 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 why are they shouldn't receive, they shouldn't receive. It's like they're damaging their soul by doing this, right? They're putting their whole soul in jeopardy. I mean, the teachings of the church are quite clear that you don't bring yourself to the altar unless you're ready to accept all the teachings. You know, Father Pavone one time, he gave a homily at my parish because that's how long I've known him. And he said, you know, when you come up to receive Jesus and the priest says body of Christ to you and you say amen, what you're saying is, yes, I believe in all the teachings. He says, you don't take the Eucharist and then break off a piece. Oh, but not this teaching, you know, because that's basically what Biden and Pelosi and the other Catholic politicians who are so in love with abortion, they're saying, oh, well, you know, publicly, you know, I could be against abortion, but privately, you know, I could still receive the Eucharist. Well, then that's what they're doing, right, sister? They're, when that Eucharist is presented to them and they say amen, they're going, oh, but wait a minute, Lord, not this piece. Take this part away. Isn't that, that's kind of like what they're doing, right?
Yeah, I mean, none of us can receive the most blessed sacrament if we're not in the state of grace. You know, if we have any stain of sin, that's especially mortal. So if, for example, an abortionist or someone who's had an abortion or having an abortion, if you drive someone to the abortion clinic or you help pay for the abortion, that's all, you're all culpable for the sin of murder of the child in the womb. And it goes even to a higher level. And Cardinal Ratzinger, before he became Pope Benedict XVI, even brought this to the bishops, that anyone who is a politician and is promoting these issues that are critical to our faith, not only the abortion issue, but religious freedom. And now with this new administration, they want to, it's okay to mutilate your bodies. They're saying it's okay for an eight-year-old child to change their sex to the opposite sex. These are all grave, grave, grave sins that have stained them. And I say, so this is not me again talking. This is what the church is saying. The scripture says, you know, that if you're not, if you're stained with great sin, you cannot receive our Lord. You're not only, it's a grave sin to receive Jesus when you're in a mortal sin. And if the priest knows this and he continues to give the Eucharist, their soul is in grave danger. And we're bless you.
Thank you.
So we have to, it's not a punishment to keep the Eucharist away. It's just like this past gospel we had where Jesus, you know, talks about the shepherd, where if there one sheep wanders, the shepherd finds that one lost sheep, he breaks the legs. It's a painful thing to do, but that makes the little lamb, who then is now over the shoulders of the shepherd, to become more dependent on him. And, you know, they have the smell of the shepherd to know him so well. And if you want to think of saying no to communion, think of it as breaking their legs. Or I say it's like giving chemotherapy to someone who has cancer. You know, at first it looks like a harsh punishment, but it's life-saving, because if you're giving communion to someone who's in a state of grave sin, you are putting them deeper and deeper and deeper into the grave sin. And the person, the priest who gives communion is also in grave danger, I fear. We pray every day for our president. We pray for all those politicians, especially Catholics, who are supporting issues that are not part of the church, like those 13 congressmen who said it's okay to get RU-486, which is an abortion pill, to make it over the counter like bubblegum or Tylenol. So they're basically allowing anyone to end their abortion by buying a pill over the counter. These are grave sins. And someone who's in the public arena needs to publicly confess. This is not just a whisper in the priest's ear in the confessional only. It's also a public confession, because this is such a public issue and has created so much scandal in the church. So many people are so confused. I've had so people come over to say hi, and they said, isn't it wonderful that we have such a wonderful Catholic president? And I said, who's that? And they'll say, you know, he prays the rosary. And I said, thank God he prays the rosary. But anyone who's in grave mortal sin cannot receive our Lord. And I have to explain to them. So this is mini catechesis in to adults. And they're shocked. They go, oh, my goodness, I didn't know that. And that's the problem. People don't know. And they'll say, shame on you for judging. So they have priests like Father Altman, who's being crucified for speaking truth. Thank God Bishop from Tyler, Texas, is supporting him. And I know there's a lot of bishops there who support him. They're just not speaking out. Bishop Strickland has. But we are in this battle, basically, and I'm telling people that we have to be prepared. And it's a battle between, it's not right and left, Democrat, Republican, you know, conservative, liberal. It's a battle between the devil and our Lord. And we have to reflect. And this is why you have to go to Mass and go to confession and go to communion, to because you want to ask yourself, what side, whose side do I want to be on? And I know that so many people I meet are saying, I want to be on God's side. That's the winning side. And we're in this together. We're not alone. God's in charge. We can't be afraid. But we might be, you know, in for some spiritual bloodshed, or even more than that. Not to sound doomy gloomy, but we do have to be in the state of grace and pray. Pray for those. Every day we pray the Patriotic Rosary, which if you don't know about it, you'll fall in love with it. But it covers, there's 50 states, there's 50 Hail Marys. So and there's 5 decades. So the first decade is for the president. We pray for the Supreme Court is the second. The third is the Congress and Senate. The fourth are the governors. And the fifth is the county and municipal's office. And we pray. So for those in the state of Florida, we ask the Lord to place the blood of Christ on the state of Florida and every soul in that state. And then we pray the Hail Mary. So we do that every morning, and it's very powerful, very patriotic, and very spiritual.
If we want to find that rosary you're describing, is there a website or someplace?
Just jump on the Patriotic Rosary. I just go on Patriotic Rosary. A friend of mine just did a beautiful card. I can give you that link at the end. Joanne Bonzuel, because we're doing a special event on the 4th of July up in New York for this. She's got the Rosa Mystica Shrine. And so that morning, I'm going to help lead that rosary. But she's a beautiful artist, and she made some beautiful cards of, you know, related to, you know, Our Lady of America, which is another whole topic.
Right.
But,
so we'll Google then that, the Patriotic Rosary. That's beautiful. And we're just about going to finish up here, sister. But I just want to, when we were getting ready to start, brothers and sisters, sister shared with me a beautiful picture as we started off saying it was Flag Day. Now we'll end with this thought. I want you to see this beautiful picture that someone, I think, texted sister, and I'm going to be putting this on my Facebook today for Flag Day, you know, all day long. Look at this beautiful picture. Defend those little babies. Look at that soldier holding that little baby and nestled in the flag. And, you know, I know a lot of times when people say the Pledge of Allegiance, I know the Knights of Columbus got into this habit. At the end, they add the line, born and unborn. So maybe that's a good idea. We start adding that line to the end of the pledge, born and unborn. Well, sister, I just want to thank you so much for your encouragement,
And I want to encourage all you brothers and sisters that if you know someone who's still watching Mass via Zoom, invite them to go to church with you this Sunday. I think that's the answer. We have to invite. Maybe you know the family next door still hasn't come back, and normally they would go to your parish. Invite them. Say, hey, you know, I've been going to Mass and receiving the Eucharist, and it's perfectly fine. It's safe. Why don't you come on with me? I think, sister, isn't that it? We have to invite our family and friends. You know, instead of, you know, I always feel, don't complain about what you can't do. Work on what you can do. Okay, so I can't control Joe Biden getting up to receive communion and the priest who's given it to him. I can't control that, but I can pray for the situation. But everyone watching us now, your goal between now and Sunday, invite someone to stop Zooming and back to Mass to receive Jesus, right, sister? And the final, let's say a closing prayer, sister. Can we have a closing prayer?
Sure. Well, let's just invoke our Blessed Mother, and we say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of America and our Queen of Peace, pray for us.
Well, thank you, sister. It's always such an honor to have you with us. And I hope, brothers and sisters, this discussion really helped you to find more peace, to get more of your family and friends back to the Lord and receiving the Eucharist. And of course, sister, our prayers are with you for the wonderful work you and your community are doing right there in Washington, D.C., saving moms and babies from abortion. So thank you, sister, for joining me on Just Say Amen.
Praying for you all, too. God bless
you. Thank you. God bless you. Well, brothers and sisters, thank you for joining me on Just Ask Janet. And remember, before we go, there are some abortions only you can stop and some lives only you can save. Join me again next time on Just Ask Janet.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.